Now, the Gospel of Luke is unrivaled for its beginning. Its beginning is what most people think of. It's what people know well. It's totally unique among the Gospels, the beginning. And no, I'm not just talking about the shepherds and the angels, the heavenly choir singing triumph songs for an audience exclusively composed of poor farm workers and peasants. I mean before that. And no, I'm not just talking about the meeting between Mary and Elizabeth, this power summit between poor Jewish women in a country run by rich Roman men, both inexplicably pregnant, both proclaiming defiantly that God had chosen those who were counted as lowly to be exalted. I mean before that, too. The beginning of the Gospel of Luke that is so unique reads as follows. Since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed on to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too have decided, after investigating everything carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed. That is a mouthful, this singular sentence. What is it doing here? What is this opening to the Gospel of Luke, this one continuous sentence with an elaborate internal grammatical structure, the only purpose of which seems to be to explain why the gospel was written in the first place and to give a shout out to somebody named Theophilus? Since when? Since when does the author of a gospel feel the need to explain why they are writing it? Doesn't it seem like a worthwhile enough endeavor on its own? And who is this Theophilus person anyway? Now, there are basically two explanations of this dedication to Theophilus, this odd opening to the Gospel of Luke. The first is that since the name Theophilus literally just means one who loves God, this is perhaps just a fancy way of addressing the reader, whoever the reader might be, a person who loves God, who's seeking to know God more fully by reading the Gospel of Luke. It could just be a fancy foreword to you or me. The other explanation is that Theophilus might have been a real person, and that this gigantic, sprawling Greek sentence was a formal recognition of this person, something like a fancy plaque that you would stick in front of a new office building that someone had bankrolled. Now, the Gospel of Luke, therefore, might have been dedicated to Theophilus because Theophilus might have been a financial patron, someone who made it possible to publish the book in the first place. Now, I tend to agree with those who believe that this is dedicated to a real, actual financial patron, because in reasons and for ways that it's hard for us to understand as modern people, the writing of the Gospel of Luke, the distribution of it, this would have been an expensive and time-consuming task, to say the least. First off, you have to understand that unlike Matthew, Mark, or John, the Gospel of Luke is long. It is really, really long. It is composed of the Gospel according to Luke and a book of the Bible most commonly called Acts. These things are taken together. They're written together. They're meant to be read together. And together they tell the story of the life of Jesus from before Jesus was ever born, through the early history of the birth of the church, as well as the spread of Christianity throughout the whole world. This is the two-volume deluxe box set edition that is fancy. It is written in high style. The author was possessed of elegant Greek prose, written in the most stylish style of the time. As well, the author is a scholar of some note, it seems, because the author managed to track down and get their hands on the most authoritative copies of the scriptures, both the Hebrew scriptures as well as the earliest writings of Jesus, the earliest written accounts of Jesus' words. So the writing of this would have been the work of at least a year. at least a year by a highly educated and professional writer, plus the cost of reproducing it would have been astronomical. Each copy would take a professional scribe months to meticulously copy out, word by word, by hand, plus the work of copy editors who would double and triple check for errors by counting the number of letters in the entire book. It is hard to give a modern equivalent, but it would be something like the cost associated with writing, directing, producing, and distributing a new Star Wars movie. It was a huge, huge project, and it would need people with deep pockets to bankroll it. So for no other reason other than how monumental a task it was to write and publish Luke and Acts, I believe that this Theophilus person was probably whoever it was who was making that financially possible, being immortalized for their generosity. But that brings us to the other question, very interestingly posed by this dedication to Theophilus, which was, why was the Gospel of Luke written in the first place? Within the dedication itself, you can see that the author knows that other Gospels have already been written, so it's not the first. In fact, Luke quotes extensively from the Gospel of Mark, in addition to well-documented sayings of Jesus, so it's not as if this were the telling of a story that had never been heard before. Christianity was already an established religion. Heck, volume two of the two-volume set was about how Christianity got to be so popular in the first place. So why write this? Why write this gospel at all? Who would go to the enormous trouble and expense of writing another gospel of Jesus Christ when people had already heard the tale? I think the dedication to Theophilus, personally, I think it is endlessly interesting. Others might disagree. I think it is endlessly interesting, but even though I think that Theophilus bankrolling the writing of the Gospel of Luke helps us to understand a bit about it, that only explains how it got written, not why it needed to be written. Remember how I said that the beginning of the Gospel of Luke is amazing? Well, it is amazing, and while a Bible nerd like me thinks that the dedication to Theophilus is pretty great, that's not why I need the Gospel of Luke. At Christmas time, when I need to be filled up with hope for something new coming into the world, something of God, something that I don't need to produce for myself, something new from God, when I need that, I need to hear the angel say, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God." And when I am struggling to make the world a better place little bit by little bit, I need the Gospel of Luke. When I am deep in the weeds of how to make access to more addiction beds possible or how to find more lockers for homeless people, I need to hear Mary say, "God has brought the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away." I need the Gospel of Luke when I see that even today, women's leadership is suppressed in the church and outside. When I see that there are not enough women leading institutions, I need the Gospel of Luke, because in Luke alone, I can hear Elizabeth and Mary give testimony in their own voices. In Luke alone, I can learn about Joanna and Susanna and all the Marys and the countless women who from the beginning had been leaders among the followers of Jesus. I need the Gospel of Luke. The world needs the Gospel of Luke. That's why it was written. The world needed good news that could embrace those who had been outsiders, that could embrace those who needed to be cured of the lie that they were not beloved children of God because of how they were born or where they were born or how much money they had in their pockets. The world needed good news that could be heard and understood not only in the lands where Jesus walked, but also on the far side of the world, in places Jesus never set foot. The world needed good news that could transcend race and class and gender and nationality and language and embrace the whole world. And embrace the whole world in a new and radical love that would be seen not in a mighty king, not in a person so like the emperor, but rather a new and radical love seen in Almighty God, born in a lowly manger to an ordinary woman, engaged to an ordinary man, that from among the people would rise the very salvation of the world. The world needs the Gospel of Luke. It seems somehow almost sacrilegious, the idea that someone would sit down and write a brand new gospel. It seems presumptuous that the world might need new good news. Isn't the old good news good enough? So take this from the dedication to Theophilus. It is our task today, as it is the task for every generation of Christians, it is our task today to proclaim the good news in ways that the world needs to hear it today. We need the church to be a new church for a new century. We need to find ways to preach the good news of Jesus Christ to those who have been told a lie, that they are of no worth. We must find ways to open the doors of leadership within the church to those whose gifts have not been recognized, else the church shall wither. So, to borrow a bit from the author of the Gospel of Luke, since many have undertaken to live out the good news of Jesus Christ, as it has been fulfilled among them, just as the example had been handed on to them by those who from earlier generations were witnesses and co-workers in the Word, we too must, after carefully considering everything from the very first, live out a wider embrace amongst you, most excellent lovers of God, so that people who have never heard of the God who loves everyone may know the truth concerning the things about which you and I have already been instructed. May it be so.